the Bob and Tom Show. Thanks very much for joining us. We are going to get back to the action here in the Napa Auto Parts studios. In a matter of moments, I look around the horn. I see Chick McGee across the way at the Quality Drivers Sports Desk.
Hey.
Christy Lee, of course, is right next to me at the Bob and Tom News Desk. PTAS sitting in with us this morning, and we've just been joined by comedian Dave Dugan. And we have a very special guest joining us on the phone. She is Mistress Isabella Sinclair. Isabella, may I call you that, or do you want me to call you Mistress?
Just call me Isabella.
Okay, Isabella. I'm looking at your website. You're very pretty.
Slave! Call her Isabella, slave!
Is that how this works, Isabella?
Right? You're very pretty. But now, the reason I wanted to contact you is our friend Scott here has done some features when he was working for Playboy Television. I went to see the movie 50 Shades of Grey, and I thought, first of all, a very awful movie. But the and I don't even know how to describe the world it's apparently attempting to depict. I guess it would be BDSM. Is that the
sure
sphere?
It is. Bondage, discipline, sadomasochism. But this is also a DS relationship, if you want to get the terminology right. It's a dominant, submissive relationship.
Okay. Yes, see, there you go. But you know about this stuff. I don't. I thought it was pretty light, pretty lightweight and almost comical. Especially when she walks into his so-called playroom, and it looks like you've walked into a gun store. There are hundreds, all this different apparatus and these things. I've got to be careful how I put them, but a lot of pointy phallus-like things, and pretty much nothing gets used except a couple of, like one crop, and they don't really take advantage of all the tools, I guess is what I'm saying.
I didn't have a lot of expectations about it. I knew that it was made for the general public. I knew the book was probably going to be a little more graphic because when you read a story like this, it's easier to put your imagination on it. If they were to play out everything that happened in the book, it could have a different effect on people. Like, oh, that's not what I thought it was going to be like.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I honestly, you want to know my opinion about the movie?
Yes, of course.
Well, okay, first, let me preface that E.L. James is not the authority on BDSM relationships or lifestyles. I've read so many reviews about this from people from my industry and then people who are not in my industry. And I also want to preference that I'm not the authority on this. But with that said, I thought the film was cute. I thought it was designed to be a love story about two lifestyles colliding after realizing a mutual attraction for one another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gray wants something that Steele was not aware of, completely unknown. This was not an uncommon dynamic. There are people that are into this sort of stuff that meet someone who's not into it all the time. And I thought that it was responsible of him to immediately say what he was into, because people will string out relationships for years and then suddenly spring it on their partner.
Oh, I see.
Well, I want this and I have to have it. So it's either we're going to be in this relationship or we're not.
Now, in the movie,
irresponsible.
Yeah, let me say, Isabella, for those that haven't seen this, the movie, there's a contract that he right away tells her what he's into, kind of.
Yeah.
And then there's this sort of contract, and there's a really comical moment in the movie. And Isabella, I've got to bring you up to speed on this. I went to see it with some friends at kind of an art house that has it's a multiplex. And just as this one scene was taking place, two quite elderly people came in. It was an afternoon movie. I would say literally in their mid-80s. They both sat down, then the guy got up after about a minute, and then he had to come back for the woman about 2 minutes later. I don't think he realized she hadn't followed him out. They'd obviously gone into the wrong theater, and Isabella, it was the scene in which, and I've got to be careful how I word this, honest to God, they're going over a contract, and she scratches out the word fisting twice.
Yeah.
So this poor old man walks in. He's, you know, he's with his sweetheart of the last 60 years, and all of a sudden on the way home in the car, well, so a little fisting tonight there, Abraham?
I imagine that was quite comical to see. But
that was funny.
With that said, I have couples. I know couples who are well into their 60s and 70s that still practice, and I teach classes. Mm-hmm. And my last class, I had two different couples in it that were probably in their 60s.
Well, certainly, and I just think, but clearly these people weren't,
they were probably,
I think they were there to see a much different film.
They'd walked into the wrong theater.
And it was really, in fact, it was
that they don't realize that this film is what it is? Because it's everywhere. Everybody is 50 Shades of Crazy right now. It's on everything.
Well, like I said, I'm not kidding. They were in their 80s. I have witnesses. So that was kind of funny. Now, we're speaking, by the way, with Mistress Isabella Sinclair. Sinclair with an E at the end, and you can go and find her in the world of Google, etc. How would you describe yourself? Are you a professional dominatrix? Is that the...
I am. I'm a professional dominatrix. I hold private sessions, but I also have other outside things. I have a video production company. I have a latex clothing store, a showroom called Damask in downtown Los Angeles, which is an a company from Amsterdam that makes latex clothing. It's in and around the genre of fetish and the BDSM industry, but it's not just exclusive to sessions.
Now, are there any movies that have gotten it right?
The Secretary, which was one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. When I saw it, I was like, wow, they nailed it.
James
it
Spader
also has the struggle of understanding themselves, why they like this, but also trying to get someone else to understand them. That's really what this film was about. It's about two different people who are struggling. He doesn't know why he is the way he is. He wants to blame it on his childhood trauma. Maybe that was the case, but regardless, he's where he's at right now, and she's not completely closed off to the idea. I mean, if you saw the movie, she enjoyed it.
Well, until he got out the crop.
Well, no, it was the whip at the very end, okay, or the belt at the very end.
The belt.
But even then, that was her trying to figure it out and understand it more. And, you know, and that happens too. That's a very common thing. And it showed that he struggled with the idea of hitting her like that. It wasn't like he's like smiling and laughing and hitting. You could see he's like breathy and, you know, kind of sweating and unsure of what he's doing. But they agreed on six. She's not going to back down. He's not going to back down. And they both realize, you know, I've read all the books, so I know the end of the story. They both realize that that's not the way they want to play.
No,
it's
going
to be about the sexual gratification, the eroticism of it. And I think that was pretty, you know, cleverly laid out for a book of its type and a movie of its type.
No, they leave it open for a sequel at the end.
Well, yeah, there's three books.
Of course, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, that was only book one.
Oh.
Two more books
right
there.
And
it's a trilogy.
Well, maybe they'll do what they did with some of these, like with The Hobbit, where there's really only one left, but they turn it into three.
Yeah,
yeah. Or The Hunger Games, which is, you know,
right,
my favorite kind of movie of the last, you know, 5 years. The last one is, yeah, divided into two.
Yeah, so,
yeah, they've got a lot of room to milk this for a long time. But for me, it's been a great experience with this book being out, because it's opened people's ideas and minds up to the ideas, you know, sexual liberation, and that's never a bad thing. It gives people a gateway to be able to talk about these things with their partners. You know, maybe they're into it, they don't know how to broach the conversation. It's a very difficult conversation to have.
What?
And
I have a question.
Go ahead. I was going to ask about the latex clothing,
oh,
but go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, mine's totally different.
So I think latex clothing, I think of scuba diving.
it's a little sexier than that.
Okay, I'm
You're an idiot. You know that? You're an idiot.
I'm sure there are guys that like to do it wearing fins and a snorkel.
Well, Mistress Isabella, you have to understand, Tom really doesn't wear his sexuality on his sleeve, if you know
you
what I mean.
Just got a little window there.
So, Isabella, once again...
He only has sex to make babies.
Yes.
Yeah. We're speaking with Mistress Isabella Sinclair. You can find out more about her in the world of the internet. But, Isabella, I'm sorry, when you say latex clothing, is it like the stuff... What's the movie where they have the gimp?
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, Pulp Fiction. Is it that kind of stuff?
Oh, no. That's leather, and okay, that, again, was a hilarious, very non-realistic...
Oh, okay.
that was sensationalism. It was like, you know... Let's exploit this and make it as horrible as it can possibly be, and here you go.
So if I want to look up latex clothing, what's the name of your store again? I want to
Damask, D-E-M-A-S-K.
Okay.
The website will be the website from Amsterdam, and then I have a private showroom in Los Angeles.
And what is this stuff for?
It's just the attire, the dress. It's very shiny. It's very sexy. It has a very cool texture to it. My company, Gwen Media, is a latex-based fetish video production company, and that's pretty much all the women wear in it. So it's a huge fetish.
No, we did the I went to the Damask fetish party in Amsterdam. Have you been there?
Yeah, Europerv.
Yeah,
yeah,
Europerv.
Europerv.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of the first fetish events I ever went to in the '90s, and I've worked at that company ever since. So it's been a great working relationship with them.
That'd be great if you were like on some random business trip and that was the convention going on in the hotel.
Oh, that happens all the time, too. You know, some of the conventions, actually one of the funniest stories I have is in Los Angeles, there's a convention called DomCon, and it used to be in a hotel in the Valley. The first one they ever had, it was the DomCon convention, a policeman's convention and a Southern Baptist Coalition convention in the same hotel.
Well, you'd be surprised. As long as the Southern Baptists don't have to dance, Isabella, they're cool wearing leather underwear.
And the rowdiest people were the cops. All the staff was like, you guys were fantastic. But there was a lot of issues with the cops.
Oh, I learned the hard way. Never party with cops or firemen if you want to feel good the next day.
Yeah. Well, I've learned that about attorneys. Never party with attorneys.
Be careful what you say. I don't want to party with attorneys. They're usually suing me. I'm looking at the this latex clothing stuff and some of the leather stuff. This is actually pretty cool. Look at these, Christy. Latex polka dot,
right?
Latex polka dot thong. Leather and latex, not bad, not bad. So you give it, your review is that it's opening some eyes, 50 Shades of Grey, that is, and you said it was kind of cute.
Yeah.
It's obviously doing very well at the box office, so I assume they're planning on making the sequels.
Yeah, I think everybody was curious about it. I mean, you can't sell that many books and not do well in the box office with this kind of film.
Yeah, my big takeaway from it was I loved that Audi he was driving.
Yeah,
the sports car.
I loved all the furniture.
Yeah, I like that bathtub. It's freestanding bathtub.
And I liked the dungeon too. The dungeon was a very well put together play space.
But as I said,
it would rival the best in the world.
Yeah, it looked like a gun store. Imagine a beautifully laid out, super clean. And of course, I'm thinking practically as I watch. I'm thinking, who cleans this room?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a secret room. You'd have to have someone go in there and clean all the dildos.
Well, I'm looking at this website. How do you get these cat suits on? That's what I'd like to know.
You use either baby powder or silicone.
Uh-huh.
You put silicone inside, and then you slide right in. It feels amazing.
Did you just call it a play space? Is that what
play
you call
space.
It?
He calls it the playroom.
Okay.
Playroom.
And it's not a dungeon, actually, because it's up in his incredible high-rise that he flies his helicopter to.
Sure,
well, my dungeon, I have a dungeon, too, but it's in a warehouse in downtown Los Angeles. So it's not, you know, I don't know.
So it's not, you don't have to take stairs to go down. So there's no sump pump going off.
Now, are you in a serious relationship with someone?
I am, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I have a fascinating life. I understand this story, too. I have three kids. One is biologically mine, and two were abandoned by my sister. I took one straight from the hospital. She's 4 years old now. The other one is 15. He's autistic. He was abandoned at 8 years old, and I raised them both. And I know one day, you know, they're going to have trauma from what happened to them. Even though they're having a beautiful life right now, they well taken care of. They know they're loved. We have a wonderful family life. So... but one day, they're going to have to struggle with, you know, why did my mom not want me? Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that I've given them the coping skills as they're growing up to be able to address that and not suffer from it.
That's, you know, that we should point out, that's one of the subplot points you learned.
To the movie,
later
yes.
Later on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That he was damaged from a childhood.
If I were to see you in the street, would I know that you were into this particular profession?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, okay, that's what it figured.
One ever knows, and I love that part of it because the superhero part of being able to dress up and be one way, and then I walk away, I turn off the lights, and I'm completely different.
That's cool.
You know, there's still characteristics of my personality that go through. You know, I'm a very dominant woman. I'm a bit controlling. You know, I like to make sure everything is okay. Mm-hmm. If I'm the problem solver, the fixer. You know, and that
I haven't seen you with the meetings, Isabella.
the control
freak meetings. I'm sorry,
CFA control
calling. You could
control freak.
You
could
have
be.
Been
yeah.
a dominant. What do they call male? Are there male dominatrix
masters?
People? Masters.
Mm. Yeah.
Do we start? We have to go start calling you Master Tom now.
Yeah.
I like the sound of
Steel.
That.
Gray in the movie, he was a master, a dominant.
Now, do you wear different, you refer to them as costumes, so do you wear different costumes for different clients?
Yeah, everybody has their own idea of what I'm supposed to look like. So some of them want the very traditional, full leather, very in appeal kind of look. Others want the latex, the shiny, the glossy, super bright. That's, yeah.
Is there role playing? Like, does someone want you to dress up like you're a nurse or a farm
all
girl?
All the time.
Or, oh, really?
All the time.
Awesome.
I'm a prisoner interrogator. I am a military. I am a superhero. I am a nurse. I am a teacher.
Is there like a generic boss where you're like the boss lady?
I've been the boss. I've also been the secretary who turns, you know, flips the roles on the boss as he's trying to sexually harass her. She flips it and, you know, makes him.
By the way, Christy just started grinning.
But she's never been the wife.
Okay.
Here's how this interview works. You stop talking, and I take over.
Well, no.
We're speaking with Mistress Isabella Sinclair.
Not that she hasn't been a wife. I meant nobody comes in and asks for her to be.
Isabella, if I could ask, without getting too personal, how did you get into this? Were you interested in this for your own
pleasure?
Thank you. Pleasure, or was it something you just got into professionally because you thought you could be helpful?
It was it's a long story, but I was stalked when I was in college in Birmingham, and I was taking psychology classes. I asked my psychology professor about something, and she, I was struggling in class. I was a 4.0 student. Suddenly I'm struggling, and she goes, "What's happening with your grades?" And I told her what was happening in my personal life, and she inundated me with books about people who were serial killers or rapists that suffered from sexual sadism, because when I described what this man was saying to me, it was he was a sexual sadist, and like a real one, the one that you hear about in gory novels about, you know, true crime. Mm-hmm. And it ended with him breaking into my apartment. He was arrested, and I was working at an opera company, and I got the opportunity to go to New York and live in a girl's apartment who I had cast in an opera in Birmingham. She wanted to go do a production in Sarasota, Florida, and she said, "You know, do you want to get out of the South? Why don't you come and live in my apartment, stay in my place, take over my job working for a chiropractor on the Upper West Side, which is great." And so, with this opportunity to get out of the South, I said, "Yes, let me go." I was 20 years old. Never been to New York before. Actually, never been north of Tennessee. But I got in my car, and 2 weeks later, I was living in Manhattan. And I saw an ad in a magazine, and, you know, the Village Voice. It was about a nightclub. And I was like, "Oh, I wonder if I can get into that club." And I went to this nightclub, and it was hosted by a drag queen named Mistress Formica. And everybody had latex on and leather on, and it was a fetish dance party.
Wow. What was the place called?
It was called Jackie 60.
Okay, I'm thinking, did you see the Saturday Night Live thing on Sunday night? Where they brought Stefan out and the name of the nightclub was Yanks.
Yikes.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that funny?
Hilarious. Yeah, yeah. But there were clubs like that in New York. There was the Hellfire Club, Paddles. It was like a nightclub for kinky people. But this wasn't it. This was a very showy dance party, drag queens everywhere. It was fabulous for a girl from Alabama to, like, be able to just walk into a club and see these things. It was amazing. I was like, you know, eyes wide open at this experience. And I met a girl who worked at a club as a submissive in a club. And she invited me. As soon as we got to know each other, it wasn't like immediately, "What do you do?" "Well, I'm a submissive at a club." We actually became friends. And after a couple of weeks, I asked her, you know, "What do you do?" And she was hesitant to tell me. But when she did, I was like fascinated. Like, why do people do this? And who are these people? You know, I just had a million questions. And her response to it was, "Well, do you want to see it? You know, I have this client who likes to have people in the session. Do you want to come in and watch?" And I said, "Yeah, I would love to." And I came in, and the rest is history.
Hmm.
And nice. She was a submissive. And I knew that I wasn't that. Like, I didn't want to be vulnerable. I had just spent a year being stalked, or a year and a half being stalked.
So you wanted to be in charge.
Vulnerable enough, yeah. And I also came from a very chaotic home life. You know, my mom and dad were very young when they had me. My life as a child was also very chaotic, moving around a lot. My dad was a high-voltage electrician. So anytime there was a fire, or a snowstorm or something in town, he would have to go and rebuild the grid of the city.
All right, well, this also gives you an advantage if you have any plug-in appliances.
Not going to let the people go.
Well, by the way, we have to run here. I'm sorry. We're speaking with Mistress Isabella Sinclair. You can find out more on her website. Thanks so much, Isabel.
Yeah,
thanks for the review. And I have another real quick question. You obviously, I assume, picked a professional dominatrix name.
Yes.
Okay. Do people ask you to use a different name when they come in sometimes?
No. They see me typically for a reason, and it's because I'm Isabella Sinclair.
And you're in charge. Okay, just ask.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Good. Good to know. Isabella, it's been really cool talking to you. Thanks so much. We have to move on, and we're going to do that right now. Thanks, Isabella.
Thank you.
Once again, you can find her on the internet. We have a guy who is not a dominatrix or a master. It's comedian Dave Dugan. We'll talk to Dave when we get back. This is the Bob and Tom Show.